One, two, three, four.
And welcome to It's My Screen Time 2, the podcast where we review the programming the other critics ignore. Stuff made for kids. Find out what to watch for family movie night, what to avoid altogether, and what you'll want to watch alone, voluntarily. I'm Katie.
And I'm Deborah.
And I have two kids who are 8 and 5.
And I have three kids who are 14, 11, and 11. Today we watched and we are reviewing Kung Fu Panda 4. We're reviewing it because this is the first big kids release of the spring. This franchise has been remarkably durable, so we figured it was time to see what all the fuss was about. Katie, have you seen the other three Kung Fu Panda movies?
I've definitely seen one. It is possible I've seen two. I feel 97% certain I've never seen three. How about you?
All of them have played in my house at some time or another, but they are movies that I haven't watched very carefully myself. So I asked one of my 11-year-olds who went with me to see the fourth movie for a little synopsis.
All right, let's cut to Nate and his summary of the original Kung Fu Panda. Take it away, Nate.
So in the first one, Paul, the main character, we see that he has been adopted by a duck. Basically, what happens, there's like a festival being held by, I believe, Master Wu Gui to crown the dragon warrior. Paul tries to climb the stairs, but being a panda, it doesn't go very well for him. And by that, I mean, he gets to the top, then falls down all of them in a trash can. Then he, I believe, gets launched by firecrackers over, like, the side of the palace where the festival is being held. Master Wu Gui sees him and crowns him the dragon warrior. And then I believe it's a scene in a prison where the main enemy, Tai Lung, a snow leopard, is being held. However, in that scene, he escapes from the prison. Cut to, like, a dojo where Po is being trained. Oh, also, he learns he's adopted, which he didn't know. He's kind of dumb. So, like, you're a panda, your father's a duck. What do you expect? He's getting trained, and a lot of the people don't like him because he's kind of lazy.
Okay.
We meet all of the other animals who are trained in Kung Fu. After stuff about getting accepted by the people in the dojo, he confronts Tai Lung, who has been wreaking havoc, and he defeats Tai Lung in an epic battle sequence. And that's the first movie.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now back to Kung Fu Panda 4. The DreamWorks animated movie was released in theaters on March 8th, 2024. We've been dealing with spring break travel here in Podland, so we had to wait a little bit to see it. It's the perfect length for a family movie at 94 minutes, and it's the fourth installment, like I said, in the franchise that started way back in 2008. In this fourth installment, after many successful years as the Dragon Warrior, it's time for Po to step down and find a successor. He finds embracing a life of peace difficult, however, particularly since an evil sorceress plans to resurrect all the villains he has vanquished in the past.
All right, let's just jump right in. Did you like it?
I liked it. I liked it an okay amount. How about you?
Yeah, I would say my feeling about the movie, too, is a generalized meh. I have no particular attachment to the Kung Fu Panda franchise or to Kung Fu movies in general, but it was still mostly fine.
I expected more laughs. I thought it was going to be more comedic, and it was actually, I mean, it says Kung Fu in the title, so what's wrong with me? But it was a little more like action-y violence than I expected.
Yeah, it definitely felt like a franchise that is resting on its laurels and knows it doesn't have to bring its A game to things like the comedy anymore, because if you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound. Like, it's the fourth installment.
Yes, but speaking of fourth installments, there was a preview for the new Minions movie before Kung Fu Panda 4 started, and I think I laughed more at that preview trailer than I did for the whole 94 minutes of Kung Fu Panda.
I mean, the minions are just an inherently funny bit that you can just keep putting in new funny situations.
Mm-hmm.
To a certain
extent.
Like a
vending machine.
Yeah, like a vending machine. To a certain extent, that can be said of a panda. Like, you can continue to put a panda in awkward situations in which a panda should not be. But I would argue that they did not go that route in this movie. Like, they're no longer capitalizing on the fact that Po is a panda, other than to keep talking about the fact that he likes to eat a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. So why don't you tell me why this movie isn't for grown-ups? Like, what was hard for you to connect with because you knew it wasn't made for us?
This was one movie where there's not a lot of, like, sneaky little in-jokes for grown-ups like there are in some other movies. Like, and it's not very meta, like the we're spoiled when it comes to things like the Lego Movie franchise, the Minions franchise. But over, like, I don't have anything to really complain about.
Right.
It was a good plot. It was interesting. The characters are nice. There was a twist that I didn't see coming. And I love the, especially the two dads, the panda dad. And is it a duck or a goose?
I think it's a goose. I think. But I'm not great on my fowl identification, so. I found myself thinking of two specific other animated movies that I would have rather been watching as I was watching this movie. And funnily enough, they were both Disney releases. So there were some funny bits of business with, like, inherent animal behavior transported into this world where the animals mostly behave like humans, right? I'm thinking specifically mm-hmm. of that moment. It's like the first scene of the movie where you have a bunch of goats working in a mine and they're walking by one another and they're just going, hey.
Yeah.
And they're just, you know, greeting their coworkers saying, hey, as you would, but because they're goats, it sounds funny. And I was hoping that that would carry throughout the movie. It did not, for the most part. And I found myself thinking really fondly about Zootopia. And I was like, oh, I would rather be watching Zootopia for their, like, precise observations about how animals behave.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as, like, the story goes on and Po kind of ventures into the criminal underworld to accomplish his goal, which, because he's Kung Fu Panda, we know is ultimately for good, I was like, man, I kind of would rather be watching Raya and the Last Dragon.
Mm.
And maybe it was just because they had those three adorable bunny rabbits that then turned out to be, like, savage killers. That, to me, mirrored very directly the criminal baby from mm-hmm. Raya and the Last Dragon. So it almost took me back to this period of time in the past when Disney and DreamWorks were, like, directly competing, or rather it felt like DreamWorks was just making copycat Disney movies. Like, do you remember when Shark Tale came out, which was, like, the Will Smith animated shark movie, and it was, like, the year after Finding Nemo?
I don't remember that at all.
Well, why would you? Because it was not successful. Or the movie Ants that DreamWorks put out, like, right after Pixar made A Bug's Life.
Yeah.
This felt a little bit like that. Like, Disney had done so many of these themes so much better in recent memory. It actually made me feel a little bit better about Disney because, you know, they've been struggling a little bit with finding success and with finding themes that are really resonating with audiences. And I was like, wow, I was sitting in this DreamWorks movie. It's going to make buckets of money, super successful. And all I was thinking was that I would have rather been watching these two Disney movies.
Mm.
So that was a long why isn't this for grown-ups? But I was thinking about two movies that felt like they were maybe more for grown-ups. Not that they're not also for kids. All right. Why is this for grown-ups? What was there for us to grab onto?
I loved the animation. And I thought that the kind of timelessness of the plot line, like, what is your purpose? What do you do when you've done your best job? Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost like a retirement identity movie. Like, how do you build a bench and choose your, what's the word?
Successor.
Mm-hmm. Those are all good themes that anybody at any age can enjoy, I think, and get something out of.
I'm glad that you took that message away from it and not the message that you should definitely say yes to a promotion that you feel underqualified for. And you definitely can't stand up for yourself and say, look, I'm very good at working on this lower rung on the ladder and I don't need to accept this higher position if I don't feel like it's right for me.
I guess because Poe is male, he's going to fall into the Peter principle and like rise to the absolute highest level of his incompetence. Like all men in management do.
I guess he can't escape the patriarchy even as a panda.
Was that too mean, girls, for the podcast?
No, we've earned the right to be mean. I think this is like our 180th episode, maybe. So I think we're okay. We can be a little mean at this point. You mentioned earlier the B story of Poe's overprotective parents going to look for him because they're worried about him failing at his task. I loved that part. I thought that was for grown-ups. It was definitely a nod to all the helicopter parents in the house who might be struggling to let their kids spread their little panda wings. Pandas don't have wings.
Yeah, even when your baby panda is a 35-year-old middle manager of the Dragon Warrior Kingdom.
I also had a fleeting and fruitless hope that this story, which there are lots of jokes about how much Poe likes food, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I also like food. And I had this desperate thought that maybe this franchise could interest my children in Asian food. But that'll never work because it doesn't taste like chicken fingers and peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, they just need to try sweet and sour chicken.
I've tried.
Really? And they don't eat that?
Yeah, like the pillowiness of a piece of sweet and sour chicken is too distinct from your traditional chicken nugget that they just won't countenance it.
Wow. Even my pickiest eater will eat sweet and sour chicken. Hold the sauce, though.
Yeah. Talk to me about your cast or character standouts. Was there anyone you particularly loved or hated?
I love Awkwafina, and this was a role that was clearly written for her voice, her demeanor, her posture. I thought it was great.
This isn't the first time we've heard Awkwafina's voice in an animated character. My only issue, because I thought she was great too, she's very funny. I don't remember the character's name. I just think of her as Awkwafina in my head.
Mm-hmm. So I think with a fox face.
Yeah, there's a little bit of the voice actor overtaking the role. Not in necessarily a way that I minded, but in a way that bears mention, I think.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that like Jack Black is Poe, I guess.
Right.
I agree. Awkwafina was great. Jack Black is having a total moment in animated kids movies. I mean, he was all over our houses last spring for Super Mario Brothers, and now we have him again. It's always a delight to hear him. And I also love Poe's Cranston. Yeah, Bryan Cranston. And also James Hong. They were so great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on the writing? I already mentioned my favorite bit, which was the goats.
I thought it was well done. So I recently learned on the Watch podcast, which is a TV and movie review podcast for grownups about grownup shows. And they were talking about the credits when you see a screenplay where it's like so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. That means like the third person like probably punched up the script or was brought in to make do a rewrite or something. And there was, I didn't write down the names of the folks responsible for the screenplay, but this is like such a huge investment for the movie studio. Clearly they did everything to ensure that the plot wasn't going to get away from them.
Mm-hmm.
A la Animal Crackers.
Oh yeah.
You know, it was a tight three act, 94 minute show.
Right. They didn't want to go into this with any questions about its reception. Just get the thing on rails and get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on the music?
I thought that the score was well done, but not remarkable or unique, except at the end in the chase scene, it's a cover of a song.
Oh, yeah. It's a Britney Spears Hit Me Baby One More Time being sung by Jack Black.
That was really fun. That was super fun.
Does that count as a spoiler?
I don't think so.
What I always needed was Jack Black singing Britney Spears, but I would argue that it's still not as successful as the Peaches song from Super Mario Brothers. Oh,
that's a iconic performance.
Earworm for the ages. Actually, mm-hmm. Before the movie started, there was one of those like pre-movie interviews where a reporter sat down with Jack Black. And the only question she asked him was, if Poe had to write or had to sing an iconic song for this movie, much like Bowser did for Super Mario Brothers, what would it be? And poor Jack Black was like, I didn't prep this. And he sang something and it was not great. And I felt kind of bad for him. Sorry, back to the actual movie that we actually watched. We already talked a little bit about the animation. Is there anything else you wanted to mention about it?
I liked it a lot, and I don't know what you call it, but the setting, like the scenery, like the plants and mountains and stuff were like very realistic looking. Mm-hmm. But then the sky looked sort of like an old style Hollywood stage set backdrop.
Oh,
that was cool. And then the whole movie, I was wondering about like the little floating piece in Poe's staff that plays such a big role in the plot. Like, how does that stay there?
No gravity magic? Necessary.
Is it magnets? I mean, I know it's not real, but I found it kind of mesmerizing.
I love it. That was definitely something for your grown-up mind to grab onto and entertain yourself with. So did you think this was good for your kids? What made this okay/good for them?
It's a fun movie. It's a continuation of the series, but it felt very fresh. My kids were all talking about how none of the characters besides Poe made a return. I mean, the major characters that have been in the previous movies, and like they listed off a whole handful of characters that weren't going to be in it. So maybe that's like a neutral thing, but I think you think they're going to like retread the same material because they're on the fourth movie, but they don't, because they introduce a whole lot of new characters and then you don't see the old characters that you might be sick of, or like maybe their journeys are all done. You know what I mean?
A nice way to break them out of the world. I thought too that like, I mean, this seems obvious for a kid's movie, but the dual messages of one, you can change for the better, and two, you don't have to reject change just because it's scary. There's our good, solid messages for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this makes it good or okay for kids necessarily, but I think it speaks to the movie's quality that my 5-year-old was interested and he stayed entertained and he wasn't getting up. He wasn't moving around. He wasn't mm-hmm. asking how much longer was left. Like, he was into it in the movie theater. Yeah.
What makes this inappropriate or otherwise bad for kids? Anything?
I mean, as you mentioned, the violence to comedy ratio, but I think you can tell by the title that it's called Kung Fu Panda, and there's obviously going to be some degree of violence. So if just hearing the title makes you uncomfortable on that front, maybe it's not for you or your kids.
Mm-hmm. And there's violence, but it's not, and there's like suspenseful moments, but I didn't think it was overly scary or real violence. I mean, they're doing like martial arts moves, which is a lot different than guns and swords. I didn't find anything objectionable here.
The main villain is a shapeshifter, so she will often change into very intimidating, large, villainous shapes. And my 5-year-old did find that scary.
Mm-hmm.
But then he got over it fairly quickly. What movie or show for grown-ups were you able to compare this to?
I compared it to a book. What Color Is Your Parachute?
Oh,
remember that?
No.
Old gem of a career finder.
I love this so much, especially since I didn't write anything down. I have answers for everything else, but I just didn't write anything down for this one. Talk to me more about What Color Is Your Parachute?
It's all about like finding your true calling in this world, which is, they might as well say, like, you don't have a true calling. Like, you need to make a living. and you need to find something that meets your skills. So I don't know. I found it difficult to actually compare it to a real adult movie or show.
Yeah, I felt kind of bad that I have absolutely no backlog of real kung fu movies to be like, oh, this really rang bells of XYZ for me, but I got nothing. Were you able to cast the gritty HBO reboot?
I just did Awkwafina's character in Po. So in the Fox role, I would cast Scam Goddess Lacey Mosley.
Love it.
She's got a big personality, just like Awkwafina, and could go kind of wily, kind of you don't know if she's good or bad. And then in Po's role, I would cast Jeff Hiller. He's a stand-up comedian, and he played Bridget Everett's sidekick on Somebody Somewhere in the HBO Max show that I love so much.
I didn't
And
realize he was a stand-up.
he's so goofy, and he's got such like a gangly body. I think he would be perfect as a unexpected kung fu master, just like a panda bear.
I like that. So I cast Po's parents and Po because I would like to see a show that follows an odd couple of parents, as the panda and the goose are in the movie, as they try to protect their kid who has just gone and joined the military. So they were not expecting this. They did not raise their child to this life, and they are panicked. So this would not be an episode of It's My Screen Time 2 if I did not cast John Cho as the uptight father. And then I was thinking, well, who can play like the kind of ditzy? And I was like, well, why not stage a selfie reunion and cast Karen Gillan as his spouse, the other parent? And then I thought maybe Noah Schnapp, who is like the other boy from Stranger Things, as
Oh,
Poe, because he's similarly tall and like might look like he would feel out of place in a military setting. But again, I was just really drawn to the story of the parents and how they were so desperate to protect their kid, who was ultimately fine.
Yeah, I like that.
Do you think it was better when we were kids?
We certainly didn't get four movies of a franchise, so I guess this is better. But we had more G and PG movies, so I don't know. It's
Yeah.
kind of a toss-up for me.
The transparent cash grab sequel that came up for me was Fievel Goes West. Do you remember that sequel to An American Tale? Imagine if we had gotten four Fievel movies. I don't know if that would have been better.
Yeah, by the third one, like Home Alone 3 is really bad.
Ugh, yeah, you're not kidding. Maybe it was better when we were kids and they weren't milking these things for four. Or if they were, they were like direct-to-video sequels that no one saw anyway. Would you ever watch this alone voluntarily?
I would not, but I did enjoy going to the movie theater with one of my kids. It was super fun.
All right, ratings from 1 to 5 stars.
Wait, would you ever watch this alone
Oh,
voluntarily?
no, I would not.
Okay.
Ratings.
I'm gonna give it a 4. Generously, a generous 4.
Yeah, I think my overall meh attitude toward it pushed me towards a 3.5, but I think we're definitely in the same ballpark. Do you think it's a see it or a skip it?
I think it's a see it, especially if you and your kids have watched all the other ones. You might as well be a completist. It's not a must see in the movie theater, though. You could wait for it to stream.
But I would argue see it. Because what else is there in movie theaters for kids right now? Like, why not? If you want to go to the theater with your kids, it's a fun afternoon, fairly diverting. Why not?
Thank you for listening to our review of Kung Fu Panda 4. Next week, we'll be back with a conversation about screen time in the news. If you enjoyed our show today, please recommend the show to one friend you think would enjoy it too. We love growing our community of parents for sanity and screen time. Would you like more words about screen time? Subscribe to our newsletter at myscreentime2.com. Tune in next time for more real talk about the movies and TV we watch with our kids because we have to, and sometimes because we like to.
Bye.
Bye.